And welcome back to the Tune In Podcast. Good to see you, Brayden. This is our first in-person episode.
Yes, it's been a while. In the last few times. It has been a while.
Been recording virtually.
Yes.
But it's good to see you, man. How have you been?
Oh, man. I was going to say I'm enjoying this weather. I'm enjoying the weather today, but this week has not been the kindest to us here in Utah. But how are you doing?
Yeah, I've been doing good. Been staying busy with classes.
Let's go.
Yeah, same with that weather, man. Like every time I get excited to go do something, it's like raining and
snowing in May. Man, that's insane.
Hey, at least could be worse. Could be worse. We could be in Greenland or Norway or Finland. I know some people like the jazz in Finland.
So. I'm sure come wildfire season, we'll be grateful for all this moisture. But right now, it's not the funnest. But
yeah, have you been watching the NBA playoffs?
Oh man, there's a lot. NBA's got a lot of talent right now.
True.
I was watching some games last night, and my roommate came in. He's like, "Who are you even rooting for?" And I was like, "I don't know. I just want somebody to win." You know, like,
yeah, I'm all fun. I root for game sevens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just want chaos. You know.
Yeah, whoever's like losing, I'm rooting for them so that it goes into overtime, and then we get game sevens.
That's right. For the Jazz, we want us to sweep, of course. But
yeah, of course, we also are kind of rooting against the Cavs and Timberwolves for our picks.
That's true.
I don't know. That might have been a lost cause at this point this year.
Absolutely.
They're both looking amazing out there. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, man, I miss him sometimes.
He's incredible. Oh, yeah.
Things he does on the court makes it just all look so easy.
Yeah, and our boy Rudy Gobert is a new dad. It's exciting.
Oh, yes.
Cool to see.
Dude, congratulations to Rudy.
Yes, absolutely. We love to see it. Family is an awesome thing to start, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of exciting things to talk about on our episode today. We're going to be talking about some Jazz news, or lack thereof. And then we're going to be blindly ranking some Jazz point guards all time. And then we got a ton of NBA news to talk about. We're going to go over our awards, how we did based off of our earlier predictions. And we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs a little. And then just a little bit of local sports news. The team name survey was released. So we're going to talk about which names stand out and which ones we do not like.
Follow us on Instagram and Spotify and Apple, anywhere you get your podcasts. I think we're also on Amazon Music.
Yes.
If you get your podcast there. And leave us 5 stars, comments, and catch us every single week as we break down the Jazz.
That's right. And this is episode 28 of Tuned In Jazz. All right. So, starting with our Jazz news, or lack thereof. We were trying really hard to find some kind of Jazz news to talk about, and you know, there's just not a lot going on. Do you think that's good news, bad news, or just, I guess it's just time of year?
It's a good question. I think lack of news is a good thing.
Yeah, that's
true. I think it means there's no drama.
Yeah.
We can just relax. Pretty much the most Jazz news that there is right now has nothing to do with the Jazz. It's all about the hockey team.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing. We're just kind of waiting for the dominoes to roll and kind of just sitting here. But I don't know. What do you think? Is it good?
Yeah, it probably is good. I think we're all just excited to see what's going to happen. But it's still like early, I guess. Like the playoffs aren't even over. I don't even think you can make trades at this point. Or like sign. I think we're like not to that point yet. The only thing we could really do is fire our coach, and we're not there. So,
we love you, Will Hardy.
I think it's good news. I'm sure they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes to get ready for the draft, and you know, maybe putting some feelers out there who they might trade for. So,
yeah,
probably good news.
Yeah, I think you're right. I will say I have one piece of news. If this even means anything to you.
Yeah.
our main man, Jordan Clarkson, he has become all league fits first team for the fifth year in a row. Some people are saying that Jordan Clarkson might be the greatest of all time at dressing fashionably before the games.
Yeah, I mean, different type of fashion than me, of course, you know. I'm more of a shorts and t-shirt type of guy, but I respect the grind, you know. He's always showing up prepping before, I guess. It takes some effort, so good for him. Yeah,
he's got some cool fits, I would say. I at least feel like his fits are mostly normal.
Yeah, that's true.
To an extent.
He doesn't have that Kyle Kuzma crazy.
Yeah, no. Thing going I don't on. Love Kyle Kuzma. I think it just doesn't make sense. I don't know if you remember like Cam Newton when he was in the league. Yeah, he had some weird stuff.
Really crazy stuff.
But yeah, good for Jordan Clarkson. Show off his personality, his fits, and yeah. Fifth time in a row.
Yeah, we don't obviously we don't know if he'll be with us any longer, maybe a couple more years, but we'll definitely miss his personality when he leaves the Jazz. He's an all-time personality, I would say, for the Jazz. I guess the only other piece of news, we kind of mentioned the draft, but the lottery is going to be on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I was trying to think if I did the conversion there right. But of course, keep the Jazz in your prayers. We have a 6% chance, and we need that 6% chance to hit. So,
I mean, yeah, we'll take whatever we can get. As long as I think there could be a sliver of a chance we lose the pick if it goes out of the top 10. But as long as that doesn't happen, I'm fine.
Absolutely.
This draft is not very top heavy.
No.
So as long as we just hang out around 8, that's good with me. But
I also don't feel like there's like a player that's going to move the needle that much. So it's like not like we really need to hit number 1 or top 3. I think we can
Stephon
find a guy.
Castle, we need to hit him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to fall to 8 anymore.
He might not.
He looked good. Yeah.
So we can pray to move up a little, but I think we can hit at almost any spot. There's lots of talent, but lots of gambles in this draft. So.
Yep, definitely. Well, that leads us to our Instagram segment of the episode. If you haven't been listening to the last couple, we started a new segment where we upload this small 30 second to a minute clip to Instagram, and we get to hear your thoughts on whatever topic it is. So this week, we are blindly ranking all-time Jazz point guards.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, can you blindly rank these 5 Jazz point guards of all time?
Ooh, let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay, the first one is Ricky Rubio.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm gonna put him at 3. I'll put him in the middle. That's a good baseline. Ricky Rubio's a good baseline.
Next is Mike Conley.
Maybe a lot of people don't agree, but I think he's a top 3 Jazz point guard all time. So I'll put him at 2, maybe, just in case you put one of the other two guys.
Okay, next is Derek Fisher.
He wasn't with us very long, so I'll put him at 5. He did have a really good season with us, but got 4-1 left.
Dante Exum.
Oh, man. Okay, I should have put him at 4. Okay, I'll put Dante Exum at 4. Well, hopefully, 9 number 1's not really bad.
And the last one, of course, John Stockton.
Okay, yeah, that would have been my number 1 no matter who you said. So I was holding out.
I'm glad you left that number 1 spot open. Maybe Derek Fisher should have been 4, but I think it's a good list.
I was holding out for him or Darren Williams, so I'm glad he added them.
All right, go check that out on Instagram. Let us know how good Braden did on that list. I will say, I was a little tricky with Dante Exum, because I don't know if you would have expected him to make the list.
Yeah, no. Earlier in our podcast, I think episode 3, we're on episode 28 now, 25 episodes later.
Back in the early birth of the podcast stages.
We appreciate you if you've stuck with us that long and listened to us as we've kind of grown as podcasters, I guess. But we did our award predictions for the NBA. And now that we actually have what actually happened, we kind of want to go over
exposing ourselves of our predictions. Of course, at the time, I felt pretty good about my predictions. I don't know how you felt, but I thought I was going to at least get maybe 3, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How did you feel at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. I think I really feel like there was a lot of emerging stars this year. So like, I don't know if anybody could have predicted some of the names that ended up being big names in these award races. So, you know, we tried. I don't think they were bad picks at the time. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, should we start with the big guns?
Let's do it.
Actually came out, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Really recently, yeah.
Nikola Jokic wins MVP for the third time. Congratulations to him. And I believe he had majority of the first place votes. Like, it wasn't necessarily close. 70-something
first place votes,
yeah. So, good congratulations to him. Unfortunately, I didn't pick him for my MVP. I picked Jason Tatum.
Oh, okay.
But arguably, he was in the mix. So, I don't think that's a terrible pick looking back. But who did you pick?
I had Giannis Antetokounmpo. I did notice, though, that he had one first place pick. I don't know who that person was, but obviously somebody agreed with me. But this year's, in a normal year, I think he would be up in the conversation, but this year's just stacked. I think
this year is, honestly, he's played better than his MVP year.
Yeah,
just absolutely. Other guys also stepped up, so.
I think a lot of people were a little upset that it was Jokic. People felt like Shea should have won it.
Shaquille O'Neal definitely thought it was Shea. I thought it should have been Luka.
Hey, I was going to say Luka and Shea seemed like they were made a better argument than him, but I mean, he's incredible, so you can't really argue too much about Jokic. But
so we both strike out there. Next is Defensive Player of the Year. Who did you have at the beginning of the year?
I had Evan Mobley, which I don't feel like was a terrible pick. I think the year before he was a finalist for it.
Yeah, he was top three.
This year he's kind of fell off the horse a little. Look, Cavs are just, the rest of their team other than Donovan Mitchell's kind of just struggling. But still a great defensive player. I still feel good about that pick even though it wasn't him.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he tanked this year.
Yeah.
He had a great playoff game last night though. He had 21 points.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hasn't really gotten better, so hard to say. I picked Bam Adebayo, who I believe was a top three finalist.
So yeah.
I think that seemed like a good pick even now. But of course, our big man Rudy was the actual Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
We should have picked him.
Yeah, I didn't.
Seeing as we're Jazz fans, I don't know why we didn't.
Yeah, I think the narrative around him last season was like at an all-time low. And so going into this season, I don't think anybody expected what the Wolves did this year.
Yeah, if we were even pessimists
at
the beginning of the year about Rudy.
We thought we won that trade. Now we're questioning, did we actually win?
But I'm glad to see that he did emerge again and he's back to DPOY form.
And now he's officially tied for the most DPOYs of all time. So that's kind of cool.
Ooh.
For, I think, Ben Wallace and somebody else has
Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, that's probably right.
Four, yep.
So, I don't know if he'll get five, but it would be cool to see him have the record. He's
all-time great. There's another new player in the league that I think is going to start to get those
he might win
Defensive
10
Player of the Years. Yeah. And that leads us to the Rookie of the Year, who is Victor Wembanyama.
I think we both might have picked this one. On mine, looking back, I put Victor Wembanyama / Chet Holmgren, to full honesty here, which I still think is not bad. There's been times this year where I've thought Chet was the Rookie of the Year, just the way he's played and the way he's actually helped his team win. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to make an argument against what Victor Wembanyama did this year. He's incredible.
Yeah, I didn't put any /
on
my pick.
Fair.
I picked Wemby. I had Chet number two and Scoot number three, but
yeah.
Wow. I'm excited to watch Wembanyama continue to dominate the league.
Yeah.
Once he gets a good point guard and team around him, I'm thinking MVP. I'm thinking all defensive player, all those things.
I mean, I know the question with him has always been injuries, but if he stays healthy, he might go down as the greatest of all time. Like, his skill set is just unreal.
Man, that's early to say, but I'm honestly with you.
He's unreal. Good pick. And then that takes us to our most improved player. This is probably my most embarrassing pick, but who did you pick to be the most improved player this year?
I picked Cade Cunningham.
Okay.
Looking back, I wasn't a huge fan of my pick now, but it is what it is. We, of course, Tyrese Maxey was the actual winner, and he did great this year. I was so surprised. I didn't think he would be able to make the jump at the beginning of the year.
He played incredible, I don't even want to say it. I picked Jordan Poole. Terrible pick. I really thought this situation in Washington was going to work out for him, but It's been
all-time L horrible, on the podcast.
Horrible.
I'll
somehow
try
and even worse than the Pistons. It's insane.
I'll try and remember that one to hold that against you. But
yeah, you might have to.
I think Jordan Poole, if there was an award, he might have won most unimproved player or most totally declining agree. Player this yeah. year. Yeah, that's a tough one.
The fumbled the bag award. Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough season for him. I like Jordan Poole a lot, though, and I hope that he finds
to
himself
be fair,
a better situation.
If we're making fun of your pick, I picked Ben Simmons as my number two.
Oh, okay, shoot.
So that didn't work out either, fair so enough. We're both in the same boat. But that leads us to, let's do Sixth Man of the Year now.
Yeah.
I didn't hate my pick. Of course, big man Naz Reid won it this year.
Yeah.
In fact, I did not think a big man would ever win this award.
Yeah.
To be honest. Or I think in the past, Montrezl Harrell won it as a sixth man.
Yeah.
But good shout out to Naz Reid. He's just knocking down threes like it's nothing against the Nuggets. But he had a really good season.
Oh, he did. He's like a fan. It's crazy how much of a fan favorite he is, too. I totally forgot he was part of Jelly Fam as well. I don't know if you remember Jelly Fam
the
day. Big YouTube like group of basketball players that just like played really, yeah. I guess I don't really know how to describe.
Yeah, kind of like a scoop layup.
Yeah, and he was the big man of the group and anyway, so but it's good to see him in the he's played incredible in the playoffs so far. So
who did you have beginning of the year as your sixth man?
Ooh, I feel good about this pick. It was Jared Vanderbilt. I mean now I don't feel great.
I don't know about that one.
But I can like I still feel good about the logic I used to be in a season. Last year's playoffs, he played really well.
Might have shown a little bit of Jazz bias, former Jazz bias.
Yeah, that's fair. But he played really well in the playoffs before, and I thought he would do well this year. I think he struggled with injuries, so I don't know if... Anyways, and I will mention my dark horse was Chris Paul as well. Neither of those guys really worked out, but yeah.
I feel okay about mine. I had Norman Powell.
Okay, that's not
bad. I think
bad.
He might have been a top three finalist.
Yeah.
With Malik Monk. And I also had Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, that's actually
as one,
a good
but
pick.
He actually ended up being a starter.
Yeah.
But I do think if he did come off the bench, I think he would have had that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good pick. And then our last one we're going to talk about, Coach of the Year. I don't think either of us predicted this one correctly.
This is my worst one, by the way.
Yeah, my pick was Frank Vogel.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And he's fired.
Yep.
What do you think went wrong for the Suns this year? Like, why is Frank Vogel getting fired?
I honestly don't think Frank Vogel is a bad coach. I think it's the same thing that's happened with we talked about Darvin Ham last week, and I just feel like, what can you do as a head coach with a group of players like that? Like, you're not going to tell Kevin Durant what to do. You're not going to tell LeBron James what to do. Like, you're just there to hype everybody up, I guess, you know?
So yeah, I mean, it came out Kevin Durant was kind of unhappy
upset,
with him.
Yeah.
Like, he told Kevin Durant to stand in the corner, apparently. But, like, it just, what else are you going to do when you have Devin Booker, who needs the ball too?
And Bradley Beal, who's been a scoring title person
and you're
before.
Kevin Durant, and you're just like an amazing three-point shooter, all over the court shooter. It just, I don't know. I agree with you. I think Frank Vogel hopefully should get another job.
I hope so.
I think he's a good coach, but it was hard to work with that team.
Yeah.
There's just no bench, and KD and Devin Booker kind of button heads.
Yeah.
Not in like a teammate type of way, but just in like a fit to win games type of way. They just do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so it's like, just take turns, Devin or Kevin. And
that's kind of what we see with Luka and Kyrie. Like
they make it work.
They do make it work. Yeah.
Cause I think Luka's also got the playmaking part of his game. Kyrie has a little bit of that too.
That's true. Yeah.
But Devin and Kevin, it's just mid range scoring.
Yeah, that's true. I will say, as a BYU fan, I'm glad that Kevin Young, I hope the ink is dried on the contract, because that may have been his job a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know if he would have probably got fired too if he was in that spot.
That might have been true, but.
But we both took an L there.
Yes,
but let's
we did.
Give a shout out to Mark Dagenault.
Yeah.
The coach of the
incredible
OKC Thunder. I don't know. You knew who he was before this year, but have you ever even heard his name?
No. I honestly think It was probably, for me, it was probably a coin flip between him and Chris Finch from the Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys just like to take two non-playoff teams and make them, they were both basically number one. I know
The Timberwolves were the eighth seed last year. They were in the
playoffs. No, I mean, but like this year, oh, that's true. They were the eighth seed. But like to take
first round exit,
both teams to number one essentially, like is kind of insane. So
yeah,
that's incredible.
Mark Dagenault, if you didn't know him, I Googled him actually.
Uh-huh.
He was the coach of the Oklahoma City Blue G League team.
Oh, okay.
For 5, 6, almost 10 years. And he also was the coach of Florida for 4 years before that in 2010 to 2014 or something like that. So he's been coaching for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And good for him. I'm sure if he hasn't already gotten a big bag, he's going to get a bag at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got an incredible culture. And they're like, when you see them during interviews, they just look like such a fun team to be a part of.
Yeah, they're all, their whole team is in the interview every time.
So it's fun. Gordon Hayward, maybe not playing so well, though. That just came to my mind. I saw he checked in the other day, and man, I think
he doesn't need to. He's just there to be the locker room guy.
Yeah, I'm curious. We didn't plan on talking about this, but do you think Gordon Hayward retires after this season? Or
I think he's still got something left in the tank.
You think so?
And I think he's a good locker room presence. I would guess. I have never been in the locker room with him, probably, but he's a veteran, so he could at least teach guys stuff.
That's true.
I don't know. I think he's got at least 1 or 2 years left.
That's true. I saw some people mentioning that he might retire. He's 34.
That was pretty old.
Yeah, you might be right. He might come in as an Andre Iguodala type player that just like is an extra coach on the bench, you know, that comes in.
And he's had a lot of injuries in his career, so maybe. Who knows?
He has, yeah. But that's obviously some good picks, some bad picks. We did our best. Hopefully next year we'll do a little better picking our awards. But we talked a little about the playoffs, but what?
Yeah, do you want to start with the East, maybe?
Sure, yeah.
How did the Cavaliers manage to take a game?
Oh, I
did
thought
you
they
watch
were gonna,
that?
I did, yeah. That was, they like didn't just take the game. They like, they laid it down on them pretty good.
Mm-hmm. On the road, TD Garden. Nobody was winning in the TD Garden in the regular season.
Not at all. I honestly thought they were going to get swept. I still think it'll be 4-1, to be honest. But
no, you don't have any faith in Donovan?
No,
you're a Donovan hater.
I wouldn't say a hater. I just don't. I'm not a huge fan of like the whole taking 30 shots a game. I don't think that like contributes to winning basketball very much. But Donovan. He's an incredible scorer, though. It's hard to, like... He's so fun to watch, like...
What I love about Donovan is he gets to the rim lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. And he like, does this thing that I wish our players could do, where he, like, holds the ball a little bit away from his body while he's, like, driving.
Yeah.
Very hard not to foul a guy in that situation. And he's, like, got such great touch around the rim. And so, like... Like you said, maybe he does take 30 shots. At least half of those is going to be layups.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm great with layups.
And then he's going to get 7 or 8 free throws because he has to foul him, you know.
And he's become such a good three-point shooter compared to early in his career. And so, I don't know, he's just such a professional scorer.
Yeah.
He is fun to watch. And I just want to say, even though he does take a lot of shots, a lot of them are at the rim.
That's true.
And that's where your coach loves...
Yeah.
Loves shots to be taken.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, I think it's less of a, like, insult on Donovan Mitchell and more of a, just a comment on the fit. I don't think he fits super great. At first, I thought he fit nice with the Cavs, but I think Donovan Mitchell needs more of a situation like a, kind of like Luka has a little bit, where he just kind of, the team is built so that he can play his game, you know? And I don't think that Cleveland's necessarily, like, built that way.
You think he needs to team up with a guy of his caliber?
Well, yeah, but I mean also just an offense where it's designed to run through him. You know, like Cleveland has a lot of other really good weapons. Like I like Darius Garland a lot. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen have both shown that they can, you know, be effective on offense, but it's just hard for them to get going when you got a guy taking 30 shots, you know what I mean?
As much as I know it's been drawn up for years. I do think the Knicks are actually a really good place for him.
Oh, yeah. Him and Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson
and
him could coexist pretty well. And I think that would just be such a well-constructed team with him on it. But let's actually segue to the Knicks series now. Knicks are up 2-0 against the Pacers. I'm frustrated with this series. I'm going to be real. I'm always a guy that loves the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Pacers should have won both of these games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think at least especially game two, watching down the stretch towards the end, there was a call of like a kickball where it hit his hand.
Yeah.
It was so and the refs like looked it over and just said like, oh, we can't change it.
Yeah.
And that's just so pitiful to me. If I was a Pacers fan, I would be really upset because I think right after that supposed kickball, the Knicks hit a three, go up, win the game. And so I think if that had gone their way, it easily could have changed. And of course, I don't know how you feel about like the offensive foul moving screen.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
Miles Turner or whatever.
Yeah. The ref said in the report that it was a moving screen, and I think that's true. But I think that could have been a makeup call
for
some
bit.
Of the past stuff, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm anybody who knows me knows I'm a notorious Knicks hater. I will always be a Knicks hater, but where the heck did Jalen Brunson come from? Like, what in the world? This dude, like, aside from all the, like, terrible officiating, like, this dude is absolutely taking over these games. Like, he's just insane. And, like, he's not, like, a necessarily big guy or athletic. He just knows how to get the ball in the rim and, like...
Kind of reminds me of that one year of Isaiah Thomas where he was just
insane.
Oh,
yeah, just hooping, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, he's just absolutely balling. I do think that this series is going to go a little differently moving forward, though. I think Jalen Brunson got injured in game two.
Oh, shoot.
And he like was questionable whether he would come back 100%. OG Anunoby, I believe, just went out for game three.
It's like their two best players right there.
Yeah, and I think there was one more. I know Julius Randle's pretty much out anyway, so I think the Pacers got to pick up game three and four with injuries happening to get the series to keep the series going.
I've been impressed. There was also like a poster dunk by Aaron Nesmith.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember what game it was. Dog.
Yeah. Did you see the, I think it was like Obi Toppin did like an under the leg fast break.
Yeah
it was like open. I
bet his coach didn't love that.
Oh no, yeah, he definitely
but it was
didn't.
Pretty flashy.
Yeah, he definitely did.
But let's go over to the West.
Let's do. Thunder Mavs. Did you see the game last night? Mavs tied it up.
I did. Yeah, I think the Mavericks really have a shot. I
think so too.
When we did our bracket, I picked them to beat the Thunder. So it's going to be a good series, though, because both teams are so talented that it's a toss-up every night who's going to be on and who's going to be off. Because, this game, they were both shooting very well from the field. So... it's just like, who's going to be on tonight for this whole series?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think this might be my favorite series, the second round. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I think this will be the one that goes to game seven, to be honest.
I can see that.
And I just don't, I don't even know what to say. Luka played, he kind of struggled in game one a little. But game two last night, he was just
unreal. He's hitting threes
unreal.
Over and over.
Yeah, he's unreal. So really good game. They go back to Dallas, I guess.
Did you see tomorrow. That like end of quarter buzzer beater by Chet Holmgren?
Oh, I didn't.
They like threw it 3/4 court. He like grabs it out of the air super high because he's Chet Holmgren. Yeah. And he just nails a three.
Oh, let's go.
I think his foot ended up being on the line, but it was a good highlight. Only he could do that.
This is another like little side note. I don't know if you saw Austin Rivers' debate that he stirred up about NBA players playing in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of NFL teams could use a Chet Holmgren downfield because got some big old hands and maybe a little slow. But
I think he would take one hit and that would
That's
be his career.
True. He's pretty little. He's pretty little. But
to be fair, what about the Timberwolves Nuggets? I've loved this series because I love Mike Conley. I love Rudy Gobert, our boy Nickel Alexander Walker. Man, who would have thought?
Oh,
I thought it was going to be 0-2 Nuggets, but nonetheless, How do you think they were able to do this? Or do you think it's going to be a sweep? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, like we should be rooting against the Wolves, but I'm having such a hard time rooting against them.
I love
like
Mike Conley,
Nickeil Alexander Walker's just playing at an unreal level as well. I'm like so surprised, like with you, like the Nuggets seemed like a team that just like were locked in.
Nobody could touch them.
But they're like so frustrated. Like game two, I don't know if you saw Jamal Murray throw the heat pack and
it's dumb. It's
and
dumb.
Apparently he like threw something else later in the game. Like they are so frustrated. Like the Wolves are suffocating the Nuggets right now. And I'm sure something will change, I'm suspecting, after this game, but
I don't know what they're going to change.
That's true. But
the Timberwolves didn't have Rudy Gobert on the court for the whole game two. And it did not matter on defense.
No.
Their perimeter guards, Edwards, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, even Mike Conley, they all were Jayden just
McDaniels.
Dominant. McDaniels, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
They look like, I don't know if this is a good take, but just how Nikola Jokic is the mastermind of the Nuggets offense. I think Rudy Gobert and their players are he's the mastermind of the Timberwolves defense. Yeah. And just him and everybody, they have such a good defense that they're like honestly the perfect matchup for the Nuggets.
Oh yeah.
To take them down.
I honestly think this is a really hot take, but I think right now the Wolves are probably my favorite to take down the Celtics. Like,
really?
Just matchup wise, like the Celtics have a lot of guys who can just go score, and you need like some dogs that can go guard them, you know? So I don't know if I really like any of the other matchups against the Celtics, but Wolves, I think if they could get there.
Just real fast, people are comparing Anthony Edwards to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about this before.
I don't think we have.
On the pod. Do you think you could compare him to Michael Jordan? He looks great.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. A couple, I think it was game one, he did like a spin turnaround jumper.
In like a double team, basically. Yeah.
And he's just, a couple years ago, I remember when the Jimmy Butler was being compared to him as well. They were talking about how like, apparently Jordan has kids he doesn't like have any relationship with just from sleeping around in the NBA, you know? And so, and then he made a quote one time that's like, it wouldn't surprise me if one of them's in the NBA. And so it's like, oh, interesting. Well, yeah. We might be seeing one of them right now. I don't know. Do you see the resemblance?
Of course, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Can't compare his accolades to a 22-year-old yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way he moves on the court, you just have to see it.
Yeah.
The fadeaway jumpers, posting up, just the way he dunks even and like floats in the air. Yeah, no, I can definitely see it just in the way he moves on the court, but not comparing accolades or talent, but just the way they look. Definitely.
Did you see him do the shrug in game two as well?
Oh, yeah.
He like threw his arms up just like Jordan, like, dang, bro, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Jordan needs to go buy the Timberwolves now.
Yeah, for real. That's a better team to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're excited for those playoffs. It's only getting more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Than the first round's always a little bit boring because you got the 1/8s and what are you going to do with that? But
it's
been good. I'm excited for the next round too.
Yeah, the next couple rounds are going to be really fun. I don't know if you saw the official team name list for the Utah hockey team has now been released. The survey, I mean.
The official. What do you mean the official?
So the way that they're going to decide what the Utah hockey team name is, they're going to do a bracket. And I believe that they're going to pick the top four based off of a survey that you can find. Ryan Smith tweeted it out if you need to find it. And these are all names that they've trademarked so that they're able to use. And then they're going to do a bracket via social media and let us decide, which is kind of cool. But next season, they've announced that it will just be the Utah hockey team. It will just say Utah on the jerseys until they can put some more time into the branding, which is probably smart.
Yeah. You don't want to put a half-made product out there.
No,
you want
definitely
to
not.
Come ready.
That's how you get highlighter yellow jerseys. So
yeah,
we want to avoid that. But looking at this list, is there any that stick out to you that you hate, that you love, that you're surprised by?
Well, just looking at this, I don't know, in our past episode, we only knew like five or six.
Yeah.
How many? There's like 20 plus names on here, yeah, it seems like.
Quite a few.
It's insane. Honestly, overwhelming a little bit to decide which ones I want to pick.
Yeah.
I already know in our past one, I really liked Utah Blizzard. I don't know if that's still in the running.
Don't see it. Oh, yeah, it's at the bottom there.
So
yeah,
that could be a good one.
That's a really good one.
I also have heard a lot of people like Utah Yeti.
I've heard a lot about that one as well, yeah.
And so I think that's probably going to end up being one on the bracket. I also think Utah Black Diamonds is sick.
That's so sick.
Like, of course, like the ski reference, and that's kind of our culture. So I don't know. I think that's a cool name.
Yeah. I think I really like those as well. Yeti is one of my favorites. I was surprised by Mammoth. I've seen some really cool like mock-ups of what those jerseys might look like, even though it doesn't really have anything to do with Utah.
Like, what do we even have Mammoths here?
Caribou surprises me. I heard Stags could have been one. I kind of like Stags a little better than Caribou. Like, yeah, I like the idea, but... and then I don't know what the heck a Squall is, and I'm not sure whoever suggested that. They should be fired, I think.
That's an L. Definitely Squall.
Oh, okay, well...
I also think another big L is Utah Fury.
Yeah, Utah Fury is pretty bad.
Because everyone's going to call us the Utah Furry after that.
I like the branding of Utah Hive or Swarm. I think there's a lot you could do with that. I don't know how much I like them as a hockey team, but there's a lot you could do with that. We're the Beehive State, of course, so...
I think if I had to pick another favorite, it might be Utah Outlaws.
Outlaws is cool.
I think that just... Like, you want a team name that's going to strike fear into the opponent. And so at least Utah Outlaw feels a little bit tough.
Yeah.
You know?
I think probably another one I would add as well, Mountaineers I like, except that I think the West Virginia, that's like a huge brand for them. So I don't know if I'd really want to compete with that, but...
It's mid. Yeah. That's probably as mid as you can get, to be honest.
So there's a lot of good team names. If you haven't voted yet... like I said, it's on, you can look up SEG Media. I believe they have it on there, or Ryan Smith on Twitter. Do you want your voice to be heard?
If there's a deadline for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's still open as of right now.
I would get it done this week. It probably isn't going to be open that much longer.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
speaking one more note about the Utah hockey team, the NHL had its lottery a little earlier than the NBA, and... Sadly, we dropped 4 spots.
Yep.
We were supposed to have the second best odds, and we dropped to number 6.
Oh, man.
So, not terrible, but we, as new hockey fans, have no idea kind of player we're going to draft with this, or even who our players are on the team. Yeah. But that'll be good.
Well, I personally think we need a striker. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I have no clue. But
I think having watched like maybe 2 hockey games, I know nothing, by the way. I think the goalie's the most important player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you can have like a really good goalie, you're set.
Yeah.
Plus, none of these guys are going to be able to play the full game anyways. They're constantly being subbed in and out. So you just need like good talent across the board.
Yeah.
Maybe one pretty solid goalie and one pretty solid striker. I don't know. We need to figure out our research on that. I don't really know anything.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot about hockey in the next couple of years, I think. But kind of exciting. Hopefully them dropping means that fate will give us a better pick in basketball. I'm hoping that's how it works, but we'll see.
Make everything fair.
That's right. Yeah. The universe gives.
Also add, I have been watching the NHL playoffs a little bit. And... I don't know if you saw the game 1 of, I believe it was the Dallas Stars versus, who are they playing? Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, that was that one, or down 3-0?
Yeah, they were down 3-0 and came back and won in overtime. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, where has this been when I've watched hockey in the past?
I will say I watched, last week I think we mentioned game 7. Was it that?
There were 2 game 7s. Oh, one of them was Golden Knights and Stars.
I can't remember which one I watched. I should probably pay more attention. But there was one that went to overtime in game 7.
It was probably that one, yeah.
And I really love the idea of like sudden death and overtime. Like, it just makes everything like so intense. Like, It's just, I love that. I don't think a lot of other sports don't have that. So that's pretty
unique.
I also
think it's kind of weird. They don't have halftime because they have three periods.
Three periods, yeah. It's a lot.
So it's like the intermission report.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird to me because every other sport we have, there's always a halftime.
Yeah.
Even soccer has a halftime.
Yeah.
And so like, all right, we got two halftime reports in hockey because yep. they just want to be different, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you, Canada.
Yeah. But that's been exciting. I did fill out an NHL bracket.
Oh, okay, nice.
And I do have the Dallas Stars going all the way.
So oh, let's go. Okay.
Hopefully they can win this series against the Avalanche, but we'll see.
Yeah, should be exciting. But thank you so much for joining us in our episode today. We appreciate all your support, and we hope that you and your family are happy and safe out there. And let us, just a reminder, follow us on all our social medias. Let us know what you think as we post reels and things. We'd love to hear your comments and get your opinions as well.
Yeah, and we're grateful to everyone who listens to these episodes. We love you. Let us know if there's anything we could do to improve the podcast or any suggestions or things you want us to talk about. We'd love to hear anything like that. And yeah, we're grateful, and everyone take care.